so fun.
Hey, do you ever feel like something's missing when you're trying to communicate with someone? You ever been that? You're trying to say, you're saying this, but they're hearing this, and there's a disconnect. Oh my goodness, there's a gap, a communication gap. Allison and I were laughing at this video. She showed me this video. Some of you may have seen it, and it's okay to laugh at this video, okay? Starts out real serious. You're like, what do I do here? Just watch this and see if you've ever connected with what this couple is talking about.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. Yeah,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on, if you would just-
Don't-
Can you relate to that? I mean, do you ever feel like you're trying to communicate something to somebody else and there's something that's just missing in that communication attempt? There's just a gap that's there. I mean, maybe for you, it just feels like he is just missing connecting with your feelings. And maybe for some of you, it just feels like such a simple fix. Just remove the nail. And she's just going, it's not about the nail. And you're going, yeah, it pretty much is about the nail. I mean, that's what it is about. And man, sometimes when we try to communicate with somebody else, no matter how hard we try, at the end of our attempt, there's just a communication gap. And sometimes what we say and what another person hears misses. And there's just a gap in that message that's trying to be communicated so clearly and so accurately. That's what we'll see in our text this morning. If you have your Bible, would you take it and open it to Acts chapter 8? Acts chapter 8 is on page 916 if you're using the Bible in the row right in front of you. If you don't own a Bible, take that one. Let that one be our gift to you. I would love for every person to have a Bible and not only have a Bible but to read a Bible. We've been walking through the book of Acts and we're in Acts chapter 8. Last week we talked about at the beginning part of Acts 8, a guy whose name was Philip, and how Philip ended up going to this place called Samaria because he and the other followers of Jesus had been in Jerusalem, and persecution began in Jerusalem, and it caused the followers of Jesus to begin to scatter throughout the countryside, throughout the other nations. And one of the places that Philip scattered to was this place called Samaria. And so while Philip was in Samaria, he was preaching as he was on the run, and he was sharing the good news of Jesus, that Jesus came from heaven to earth, lived a perfect life, died a sinner's death on a cross to forgive every sin that's ever been committed or ever would be committed. Every person in the world has sin in their life that separates us from holy God, and that's why Jesus came, was to make payment for that sin, give you and I an opportunity to be forgiven of our sin and make our way back into that covenant relationship with God that he always dreamed it would have. And so Philip's telling this story in the area of Samaria, and he's telling people about the good news of Jesus, and people begin to respond to the message of grace and hope and salvation found in Jesus. But what we'll see today is that there was this one guy in Samaria who heard the message. He heard the message. And yet, what we'll see is there was something that was missing from what he actually heard. Something was missing. He didn't connect with one aspect. This guy's name was Simon. And it turns out that something was missing for Simon when he heard this message preached. And we'll pick the story up today in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 9. See if you can determine what it was that Simon was missing. Acts chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "Now, but there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced what? Magic." Did he look like Harry Potter? I don't know. But the Bible says he had been practicing magic in the city, and he amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They bought it. Verse 10, they all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. A lot of smoke and mirrors going on. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Check this out. Even Simon believed. And after being baptized, so Simon was baptized, he continued on with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Verse 14. "Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them some heavyweights, Peter and John." That's the A team right there. I mean, that's varsity. "They sent Peter and John, who came down, see what was going on down here. And they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Verse 17. "Well, then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." Verse 18. "Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them something." What did he offer them? Money. He offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your" what? "Your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your," say it with me, "heart may be" what? "Forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." You're wrapped up in your sin and it's messing with you, is what it says. And here's what Simon answered. "Pray for me, Peter. Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." And now, when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. All right, there's a lot that's going on in this section of our story today, in this part of Acts chapter 8. But I really want us to zero in on one thing, on one person. I want us to zero in on this character who practiced magic. His name was Simon. I want us to look at Simon's life, and I want us to look at what seemed to be missing from Simon's life. We don't know a whole lot about Simon, but what we do know about Simon is really pretty interesting. Kids, here's what I'd love for you to do. Draw me a picture of what you think Simon the magician looked like. Maybe he did look like Harry Potter. Maybe Simon the magician had little black glasses. Maybe he had a cloak of invisibility. If that's the case, just turn in your paper blank and it'll look just like him. I don't know what he looked like. The Bible just said there was a guy named Simon who practiced magic. So draw me a picture of what you think Simon looked like practicing his magic. When we're done, go put it on my picture board. I want to see what you think this part of the story and this character in the story looks like. See, according to this passage, Simon was really a pretty big deal in Samaria, at least before Philip came to town. And when Philip came to town and he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, and God began to use him to demonstrate the power of God in some very tangible ways, man, that kind of changed some things. See, before that, Simon apparently had gained a reputation for being a pretty powerful guy, being a pretty influential guy, what was a leading figure in the Samaritan district. I mean, look what the Bible says about him again in verse 10. It says, they, the people of Samaria, they all paid attention to him, to Simon. From the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God that's called great. And they paid attention to him because for a long time, he had amazed them with his what? With his magic. See, this guy had figured out how to draw a crowd. This guy had figured out, man, here's the market share. Here's how I'm going to connect with the market share. Here's what's going on. Here's how I'm going to get him. And he did it. He had a fan base. Probably had a lot of friends on Facebook. Probably a lot of people following him on Twitter. I mean, it even mentioned that the people equated Simon with God. The power of God. I mean, this guy made Justin Bieber look like an opening act. I mean, Justin might have believers and a lot of young people following Justin, but it says here, from young to old, they were following Simon. They were wowed and amazed by Simon. Lots of smoke and mirrors coming out of Simon's life. Until a message with substance came to town. And until people's lives begin to change in response to the power that came out of Philip's life. Look what it says in verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, why do you think so many people had been paying attention to Simon the magician, and now all of a sudden they start paying attention to this preacher named Philip? Why do you think they switched their attention span? Well, let's stay curious when we read God's word. Let's stay curious. And look what it says earlier in chapter 8. We read this last week. But I think the people started gravitating towards what Philip was saying because of what the scripture records in chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. Look what it says. We read this last week. Now, those who were scattered went about preaching the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he proclaimed to them the Christ, and the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him, and they did what? They saw signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them. I'd start paying attention to that, wouldn't you? Yeah. Watch me pull a rabbit out of this hat. Watch me cast a demon out of this life. I'm going to watch that. I'm going to gravitate toward that. You've got my attention. Because I've been living with this woman who's got that inside her for 5 years and what just happened. Whoa. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy, as you can imagine, in that city. See, there was power that was a result of Philip's words. Stuff was happening that was affecting people's lives. It was a gospel that was being shared and then received, and stuff was happening inside of twisted, broken, messed up, jacked up people. And it totally began to revolutionize what was happening in those people's lives in Samaria. And I think that Simon was beginning to see his market share vanish before his very eyes. And like any good entrepreneur, he wants to get in on that deal, and he wants to get in on the ground level of that deal so he can begin to leverage that new asset and allow that to become a whole new branch in his portfolio that's leading to the power that he's been enjoying for so many years in Samaria. And it says Simon really liked what he heard. He was just kind of going, all right. And he was hearing this, and he's agreeing to this. He's liking what Philip is selling. Look at verse 13. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was what? He was amazed. Man, Simon was liking what he was seeing. And what he's seeing is this power affecting people's lives. And he's beginning to see power in his future. And power leads to dollar signs, and that leads to being able to control people's lives. And he's going, I want that kind of power. Because my smoke and mirrors ain't doing it anymore. I want what this guy has. And see, word gets back to Jerusalem that God's doing some powerful stuff in people's lives down in Samaria. And Peter and John go from Jerusalem, where the apostles were, to Samaria to begin to verify and to begin to lay hands on these new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And Simon sees the power taking place in tangible forms. And what Simon does is he just gets out his checkbook. Did you see it there in verse 18? And 19, look at Simon's response. Verse 18 and 19. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them what? Say money with me. Money. He offered them money. Not an IOU. He didn't give them a prayer request. He didn't give them some advice. He said, how much for that kind of power? Saying, verse 19, give me this, say that word with me, power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Right there. That's where we see something's missing. Something's missing in Simon and in Simon's understanding of the gospel about what it means to be a true follower of Jesus. You see, Simon thought he could buy the power of God. He thought he could buy the power of God. See, Philip's preaching, it said, was about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. As we've been walking through the book of Acts, we've defined kingdom of God because it's talked a lot about the kingdom of God. And we've defined the kingdom of God like this. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God in the hearts and lives of his people. Not the rule and reign of Simon and the hearts and lives of Simon's people. Different kingdom agenda getting advanced here. See, I think that's why Simon tried to buy the power of God from the apostles, was to extend his own kingdom. We actually have a word for this in the English language. It's called simony. S-I-M-O-N-Y. Simony. It means the buying and selling of sacred Christian objects. Simony. But here's the deal. Nothing God has is for sale. You might want to jot that down. You might want to think about that today. You might want to post that one on Facebook and see what people think. In all honesty, it doesn't matter what people think. That's the truth. Take that out loud note with me on three. One, two, three. Nothing God has is for sale. Salvation, not for sale. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. God gives it freely. Spiritual blessings. Can't find those on eBay. Craigslist doesn't have spiritual blessings from God. If it says they do, it's a lie. Don't buy it. It's a scam. You can't buy God's power. You can't buy God's blessing. That's what the prophet Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah 55. You don't have to turn there. Just jot down Isaiah 55, verse 1. Listen to what Isaiah the prophet's talking about. He's talking about this covenant relationship that holy God wants to have with his weak and needy people. By the way, that's you and me. Apart from your creator, you're weak and needy, whether you know it or not. You are. That's just the truth. And look what it says in Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, everyone. Does that include you? Say yes. Yes. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no what? He who has no money. Is that you? Say yes. Yes. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without what? Without money and without what? You know what God's talking about through the prophet Isaiah? Covenant relationship with his people. Everything God does is in the context of covenant. And he's saying, I've oathed myself to you. Therefore, it's my prerogative to give freely to the ones I love. You're the one God loves. You can't buy that. You just have to receive that or miss out completely. Nothing God has is for sale. And that is what caused Peter to twist off on Simon in verse 20 for wanting to know the asking price. What's the sticker price of God's power? Look at verse 20 and following. Look at this. This is just amazing how sensitive Peter is to the situation. Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. See, we don't see that just at first glance, kind of the context around that. But if you want the literal translation, what Peter just said to this guy, this is a guy that just gave his heart to Christ, or did he? Maybe he gave his mind. He jumped through the hoops and gave his body in baptism. Don't we need to be sensitive to this guy or just tell him the straight truth? Peter just told him the straight truth. And what this translates in the literal is this. You and your money can go straight to H-E double hockey sticks. That's what Peter just said to this guy. That's what Peter just said. He said, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your, say that word with me, heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord that if possible, the intent of your, say that word again, heart may be what? Forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. He's just saying, you're so messed up and wrapped up in your sin, you don't even know what's going on. And see, right here is where we see the something that's missing for Simon. See, Simon believed with his head what Philip was preaching. And he jumped through the religious hoops of baptism with his body. But his heart never got connected with his message. The heart never got connected. Never got connected with the power of the gospel. It never engaged with the hope and the healing found in Jesus. I mean, did you see what Peter said to him in verse 21? You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. What's that saying? It's saying this. You can go to church your whole life. You can listen to every sermon. You can have perfect attendance and get the gold star inside your Bible. And yet something can still be missing in your heart. See, if you've been coming to church because you're going, wow, nice people, good place to network, more market share, I'm glad you're here. Something's missing. If you've been coming with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or coming with your spouse because it just makes the water smoother at home, I'm glad you're here. I want you to keep coming. I'm just saying it's not an inside track on that person that you want to like you more. Something's still missing. As a matter of fact, someone is still missing in your equation, and that someone's name is Jesus. And you can believe all day long in your head, and you can nod in agreement. You can even check a card that says, I agree. I even parrot the prayer that a pastor said to pray because I agree. But if your heart has never connected with what your head has acknowledged, something's missing. Something is missing. And that's what Peter was making clear to Simon. He said in verse 21, you have neither part nor lot in this matter for your, say these next words with me, your heart is not right before God. And for Simon, what was right in his head never made its way to his heart. And there was a disconnect in his heart. And his heart had never been affected by Jesus. And Peter tells Simon, and what Peter would tell you if you said, what do I need to do? Look at verse 22 and 23. Here's what Peter says. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that if possible the intent of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you're in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. What Peter tells Simon to do is repent. What in the world does that mean? Repentance, metanoia is the word. It means rethink the way you think about something and begin to move in a different way because your heart connects with it. Rethink the way you think about something and move in a different way. Write this down. Repentance leading to forgiveness is the only thing that puts a person's heart right before God. Repentance leading to forgiveness is the only thing that puts a person's heart right before God. Otherwise, something's still missing. It's still missing in your life. And the reason you may have agreed with your head, but your heart and your life is still full of bitterness and is still entangled by sin, maybe because something's missing. And what you agreed with in your head never turned your heart around. And so Peter just tells him the truth. And Simon has a really interesting response to Peter, to that straight talk about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Don't miss this, and then we'll get out of here. Look at verse 24. Don't miss this. Simon answers to Peter. Simon answers him. Pray for me, Peter. Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you said may come upon me. It's the last we hear of Simon. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know if he got his heart right before the Lord. We just don't know. We don't know. What we do see is this. Simon the magician asking Peter the apostle to pray to God for him. Which isn't a bad thing, by the way. It's a good thing. I'm for praying for other people. I do it all week long. I've prayed for many of you this week. In person, on the phone, via text, via email. I'm for prayer. Jesus is for prayer. He's doing that right now on our behalf before the Father. But men and women, at some point, you have to own your own faith. You have to pray to Him about your heart. You can't delegate that to somebody else. You and Jesus need to have a conversation. It's your prayer to the Lord about the condition of your heart. It's not your mama's prayer or your grandmama's prayer or your daddy's prayer. It's your prayer. And what's missing for some of you is that you have never had a heart-to-heart with Jesus. And ask Jesus to fill you and remove your sin that's bound you up and separated you from Him. You've never asked Him to forgive you and fill you by His Holy Spirit. And before we go to Luby's and get some lunch, it's been said that 50% of the people that walk into a church each week don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. Some say it's as high as 80%. And I don't know what statistic is true for this room. I just know that today, if something's missing inside of you, inside your heart, you can walk away from this place with everything in full today. With your heart full of the love of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, and the Holy Spirit living in you. That video we showed earlier, it's called It's Not About the Nail. And it's not about that nail. It's about the three nails that pierced the hands and feet of Jesus. When He hung on the cross to pay the payment and the price for your sin and for my sin. And the fact that He died on a cross on a Friday and was laid in a tomb that evening. And 3 days later, by the power of God, the same power that Simon tried to buy, He rose from the dead, defeating sin, death, Satan, and hell, so that He could offer a covenant with you and with me. And that's something you don't just agree with. That's something you receive in your heart. And it changes everything. So, what are you supposed to do with a message like that? You respond. Before we go to Luby's, I want you to do one thing. On the end of your row, there's a little stack of cards like this. I want every person to grab it. We'll be gone in 5 minutes. Every person grab one. There's three different statements that are kind of posed like a question here. And I just want every person to respond. The first question, I got my heart right before God. Kind of a question mark there. Either mark yes. Yeah, I've done that. And when? When did you do that? I want to celebrate with you this week. I want to thank the Lord for that. Maybe it was when you were at vacation Bible school. For me, it was when I was in the second grade. I got my heart right. I understood in my head and my heart as well. So if that's you, just put, man, second grade, or at camp, or it was when I was sitting at home with my parents. But for some of you, though, you may go, man, I don't know. I really don't know. Or no. Mark one of those other ones. I'm not going to judge you. I just want us to have a conversation. Is your heart right before God? Yes. When? No. It's not. Or not yet, but I want to. Man, mark that. I'd love to just be able to pastor you there. Second is this. I've made it public in baptism. I've let other people know I've got my heart right before God. Yes, for me it was after I walked down the aisle of First Baptist Waco. Peter McLeod baptized me. It was freezing cold water. Maybe for you it's no, I've never done that. And maybe for some of you, it's not yet, but I want to. Not yet, but I want to. Third thing is this. Maybe for you, I'm still praying about what's still missing. If that's you and you're still praying, great, mark that. If you're just going, I ain't still praying about it. Mark no, I'm glad you're here. Come back next week. I dare you. And some of you are going, I just want to talk about that with a pastor. Mark that. Put your name on it. Put your phone number there. Put your email address. Don't do what my wife does. I'm going to tell you one of her secrets. You know what she does sometimes? She gets all this. She'll put the email address down there. She'll leave a letter out. You know why? She don't want anybody to follow up with her. I do that too. Don't do that here, okay? You can use that. Feel free to use that. Golly, it bounced back. I wonder why. Because our name has an S at the end of it. I love my wife. She's so great. I'm on my own tonight. Just leave it right there. You know what I could do right now? I could give an invitation that pulls on your heart strings. Probably a lot of people would walk forward. I don't want to do that. You know why? Because I want your head and your heart to repent. And I want to have a conversation with you about what we just talked about. So just leave it in your seat. We'll follow up with you this week. Deal? Or as we say in my house, pickle. Deal, pickle. Why don't you stand right where you're at? Because some of you are going, I don't want you to call me. I want to do something right now. Awesome. I'll be right by that water fountain when we say goodbye. Come see me. And we'll get your heart right before the Lord right now. Others of you may go, man, how do you join this church? Come talk to me. Come talk to me. Others of you are going, I want to be baptized soon. Did you mark it right there? We'll talk. We'll talk. Why don't you hold your hands out like this? Why do we do this? Because when you're receiving something, you don't do this. You just get hit in the head if you do that. There's something about our posture, and I want to just give you a gift. This isn't a Harry Potter spell. This is just a blessing. God loves you. Live in that this week. He wants to be in a covenant with you. He wants your life to be full of His power. You're the people of God. Live well before Him. Don't hide it under a bushel. Put it out so everybody can see. Live well with your heart right before Him. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Fill with